This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Johann Sebastian Bach is without a doubt one of the greatest geniuses to have ever lived. Now, Out of the Depths is the first post-lockdown concert of Bachfest Malaysia, featuring two incredibly moving Bach cantatas performed by the award-winning Malaysia Bach Festival singers and orchestra. And renowned Bach scholar, Professor Dr. Michael Maul, who is a Bach scholar and artistic director of the Lipschek Bachfest. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but we will get Michael to pronounce that properly, will also be on the concert tour. He's going to be giving pre-concert lectures, and the concert tour is also going to be the official book launch of a Bach pictorial biography, the Chinese-English version of that. So I'm going to find out more about all of that from Dr. David Chin. He is the artistic director of Bachfest Malaysia. He's a senior fellow at the Bach Bach Archive
Leipzig.
Thank you, Michael. And also Professor Dr. Michael himself. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Well, thanks for having us.
Absolute pleasure. First of all, my apologies for, you know, massacring all those names, but I will get you guys to pronounce it. But first, can we start off, David, to say that you are passionate about the music of this 17th century German composer is, I think, an understatement. I think, you know, I was reading that after you discovered his music, you called yourself a missionary, an evangelist for Bach, especially for the beauty of his vocal music. Can you remind us about, you know, your love for him?
Well, first of all, actually, I never called myself that.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I was called by others saying that I'm an evangelist or ambassador of Bach, but I don't think so. For me, my relationship with Bach is quite complicated because as a kid in Malaysia, you know, most children, they would go for piano lessons and all that. And I think that most of us, our relationship with Bach always begin with kind of fear, you know, because he is so difficult and so serious and so complicated, his music. And then once you start playing or singing his music, then your relationship with him turn from fear into hate. Yeah, hatred, because you really hate working so hard on those music. Then eventually, once you get to know him and once you dig deeper into his music, then you started to fall in love with him. So that's my relationship. I know I have spoken to many people in Germany. That's not the case. They fell in love with Bach immediately. Yeah. So I think for me, at least, that's my relationship with Bach. So when I really fell in love with Bach and his music was during my graduate studies at the Eastman School of Music, when I first explored his cantatas as a conductor. And that was really the starting point when I really became really passionate about his music and his life.
Okay. And of course, you know, you started the Bachfest Malaysia. We'll get to that. But let's talk to Michael first. Tell me about your introduction to Bach and, you know, what it is that made you so deeply appreciative of his works.
Yeah. First of all, I'm a born Leipziger. So Leipzig, that's the right pronunciation of
the
city.
Thank you.
And Leipzig is really a Bach place because Bach spent 27 years of his life in Leipzig. He died in Leipzig, which was actually yesterday 272 years ago. Mm-hmm. So Leipzig is the Bach town, and he is still there because his grave is in St. Thomas Church, the place where he worked every day of his Leipzig life. Yeah, and every Leipziger actually get in touch with Bach very early. And I got in touch with Bach because my father, he played the piano very well, and he has two musical gods. The one was Beethoven, the other one was Bach. And the first piece by Bach I can remember is probably this little tiny charming menuet, which is in fact not by him, but in his musical notebook, which he wrote for his wife. This da di da di da di da ba ba da 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 da. I'm sure everybody knows it. So and but I didn't study the piano. I played the violin, and I was always impressed by this guy with the wig on his head and looking a little strong, not really friendly, yeah. but the music is fascinating. And the more the deeper I got into his music, the more fascinated I was about this person. And because I was so fascinated about the music, I wanted to learn more about him. And that's why I ended up as a Bach scholar. So I studied musicology in Leipzig, I wrote my PhD, did lots of research on Bach, and I had a good luck then when I was 27 years old that I discovered an unknown aria by him. That was a big sensation because yes. The last unknown vocal piece by Bach turned up in the early 1930s. Mm-hmm. So, and then 80 years later, I had the good fortune to discover a new piece, and suddenly I was famous in the Bach world. So, yeah, he is constantly with me, and I would say, I guess it's a good thing to be a Bach ambassador, and I'm sure that David, you are also a Bach ambassador. You are here, especially in the Southeast Asia, doing amazing thing for Bach. I'm very impressed what you achieved, and I try to do more or less the same with being a Bach scholar, writing books on him, having a radio show, many articles, and I'm running also a big festival, mm-hmm. the annual Leipzig Bach Fest, which every year in June brings together people from all over the world celebrating Johann Sebastian Bach.
Okay, that's wonderful. And I was reading that you said that, you know, he performs miracles on the piano and the organ, you know, that's one of the reasons why he's famous today. Could you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, I mean, it is really fascinating that a human living three centuries ago developed a musical language which is still able to touch people, and not only German people. He was German and he never left Germany in his life. But today, 300 years later, the entire world loves Bach and understands him and wants to play him. And this is kind of a miracle that he actually found a musical language which is able to speak to everybody.
To transcend, right?
Yeah,
all of,
yeah. No matter what culture, what religion, what background people are having. So I guess that today the world is performing more Bach than ever before. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so much impressed what you have achieved here in Malaysia. I mean, performing Bach cantatas, which Bach composed every Sunday for a Protestant church in Leipzig, very specific texts, which are even for Germans today are not easily to understand. Mm-hmm. That you are performing these pieces here with such a success, that means also that, and it shows that Bach really provided a universal musical language. And you don't need to be a believer. Mm-hmm. It keeps just amazing music. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that's also one of the reasons why you started Bachfest Malaysia, right? In 2015, you wanted to promote his music, not just here in Malaysia, but beyond. Can you remind us about, you know, starting Bachfest Malaysia?
Well, the interesting thing is that Michel mentioned about Lutheran. I was actually raised as a Lutheran in Malaysia, but I never heard of Bach in church. We don't sing Bach. You know, we know Martin Luther. We know, of course, the famous tune we sing every year during Good Friday at church. But we don't really perform Bach, and I had no idea what Bach cantata was. And then when I went to the stage, you know, I have been through different churches and different denominations. And then eventually, you know, I discovered Bach in a conservatory where I studied music. And I think it kind of came a full circle for me personally. So with Bachfest Malaysia, actually in 2015, it was a very simple and genuine intention, simply because when I was coming back to Malaysia every summer during the summer vacation from my studies, I discovered there were many, many world-class and really fantastic musicians who are Malaysians playing in such a high standard, and they were young musicians, so, you know, musicians around my age. And, you know, I thought, wow, it would be very nice if we could do something together. And of course, at the time, I was doing a lot of Bach activities, mainly not by choice. And you know, these opportunities just came to me. For example, the Hong Kong Bach Festival. We also do an annual, actually twice a year, we do Bach concerts there in Hong Kong. And you know, one thing led to another, and the doors just opened. So then in Malaysia, of course, then I thought, well, since I was focusing so much on Bach, so why not? And with all these fantastic musicians, why not we try to do something? So we, in 2015, we decided to premiere Bach's St. John Passion in Malaysia. And it was a huge success. We had two evening of performances, and then it was full house. So then the next year, actually, I didn't do anything because we ran out of money. But then in 2017, because it was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's Reformation, so spoken to the Lutheran bishop, said, why not we do something together? So we did a B minor mass. And then 2018, we did more cantatas. And then 2019, we did a Bach St. Matthew Passion, the monumental 3 hours work. And we also brought it to Moi in Johor, which, to my surprise, it was very, very well received. So we actually had many wonderful plans for 2020. We were going to travel to Leipzig, to Michael Bachfest Leipzig to perform. We were invited already in 2018. But, you know, we all know too well the reason why it was cancelled. And so now it has been postponed to 2024. Okay. So with this upcoming tour that we have, it's actually quite a challenge. It's a huge risk because to do such a tour during this still, yes, we say post-pandemic, but it's not really post. Not really, we are still kind of in the midst of it. So it's a huge risk, and it always require a lot of money because all our musicians, they are professional. So I believe that everyone should be paid because in our country, it has been too long that musicians were always expected to perform and to provide services for free. And I would like to change that. And that's my belief since 2015, that not only instrumentalists, but singers, they ought to be paid because they need to live, you know. So when they come to rehearsal and they go on tour with us, they are taking time off from their lessons, from the teaching, means that they have zero income maybe for that week. Exactly. So at least we should compensate them for what they are missing in their life. So I believe that also will help us, help Malaysia, help the art scene to have more professional, more young professional musicians that they are able to provide services than we have, then eventually more quality music and concerts performances.
It's only logical. I mean, everything you said makes complete sense. It's illogical that they are not paid, isn't it? And that they're considered less than worthy to be paid. I just want to move on to how the both of you actually met and how you have come to collaborate. Maybe you can share that story with our listeners.
It's a wonderful story. I think I'm very thankful that it happened. It was in Bachfest 2018. We had a very big cycle on the first 3 days with 10 concerts where the actually most famous Bach conductors did a kind of contest. They together performed the 30 best Bach cantatas.
It was 33, actually.
33, you're right. Good. Ton Koopman, John L. Gardiner, Masaki Suzuki with their groups. And it was a very international audience. And it was actually my first season as the artistic director of the festival. I was very proud because every concert was sold out and it was very international, I guess, from more than 40 countries. And I was sitting in the concert in St. Thomas Church, in Bach's church, and the guy next to me didn't look German. So, and I was curious and just wanted to learn where you come from. So, and then he said, I'm David Chin. I'm a conductor and I'm the founder of Bachfest Malaysia. And I was really astonished because till this moment, I had no idea that in Malaysia there's a Bachfest, and I liked it very much. And I was curious to learn more. And then I invited him this night into our VIP
lounge,
yeah, and wanted to learn more. And then I told him that I'm planning to unite the entire Bach world in Bachfest 2020, following the motto Bach, we are family. My idea was to bring together Bach choirs, Bach groups from all across the globe. Mm-hmm. And so in this very night, he already received my invitation because I really wanted to learn more. So, and that's how we met. And it was really, really an important day also for my life because we shared so many projects in the years after 2018. David's support to my work and to to all these Bach activities in the world is amazing, and I'm so thankful, David, for what you have done for me, not only with now translating my book. I guess we will talk about this
that,
too,
yeah.
But also, I mean, look back when the pandemic was very new in March 2020. Suddenly, we all were in lockdown and no. Had his fears about the future, and David came up with a wonderful idea of uniting people all over the world by singing a Bach chorale together. And so you can see it on YouTube. David, maybe you can tell the story. It was so moving. And here, I mean, David was one of the figures who really showed in the pandemic that Bach was able to help us to survive in this difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of our meeting, actually, when he became the artistic director, you know, I was already planning a trip to Germany and Austria with one of my friends as of our graduation trip, because we both were graduated as a doctorate,
sure.
With our doctorate degrees. And, you know, like what Michel said, months before the festival, all the tickets were already sold out.
Mm.
So, but we already booked our trip. So my friend and I, we just went over there.
Without any tickets.
Without any tickets. So we just say, well, maybe we'll take a picture with the Bach statue and maybe attend a service for free or things like that. So we arrived the day before the festival, and we went to the box office and we asked the person working there, saying, well, do you have any single tickets or any, you know, anything at all that we can, cheap tickets we can buy? So then the person took out from the drawer and say, well, 5 minutes ago, a gentleman just returned not one set, but two sets of premium tickets.
For the entire cycle.
For the entire cantata cycle.
Cantatas.
All 33 cantatas with 500 euros. Would you like to buy it in cash? Without a doubt, we ran to the ATM, we got our money. I mean, 500 euros for us at the time was quite expensive as a student, but I mean, that was meant for us, you know, me and my friend. I mean, two sets of tickets. And I never would imagine, you know, someone so important would be sitting next to me the next day, and then we would have met and we would become friends, and it would have led to so many wonderful projects and collaborations. So, so when people always say, wow, you know, David, you are doing so many wonderful things for Bach, or, you know, you have created these things, I can't really take full credit, because really these kind of things that happens in my life, I wasn't able to plan them.
Mm.
You know, doors just opened for me, opportunities just presented themselves. So I'm always very grateful for these opportunities. And with these opportunities, I always think, you know, what can I do with the opportunities which have been given to me, and how can I make myself a better musician, and also at the same time to serve the communities.
Mm-hmm. It was meant to be. It was written in the stars, you know, and who would you end up sitting next to, right? This is what I think we call fate. And,
yes.
You know, part of that collaboration is that book that you mentioned. Can you tell us a little bit about that? So, David, you were appointed to translate, this is Bach's biography, and it's by you, of course, Michael, but from German into Chinese, am I correct?
Yes.
Maybe you want to tell me a little bit about the German version first before we talk about the Chinese translation.
My idea was the world doesn't need another Bach biography, because there are already tons of Bach biographies.
Sure.
Most of them, I'm talking about maybe 10 or 12 really important books. They are having 500 or 700 pages, and they are, most of them are not easily accessible to a wider audience. And me as a Bach scholar who is also running a festival, I like to make it easy to get access to Bach. And I like to share my own enthusiasm for Bach with the rest of the world.
Sure.
And so my idea was writing a biography which is in the best way accessible, making Bach's life visible and actually providing a certain enthusiasm for Bach, even for the reader. So I want to make the reader curious for Bach's music. And I want to show that even that he was maybe one of the most important musical geniuses in the world, he also was a human, yeah, with an amazing musical talent, but also with some maybe not very well talented sides. So,
okay.
So therefore, I ended up with writing a biography consisting of 141 pages. And actually, each page tells a certain story in Bach's life in a chronological way. So it's a kind of chronicle. And opposite each page, there is a picture. So we have 141 pages with texts and 141 pictures. And the pictures actually explaining something or showing something which is mentioned in the text. So it is really a book you can read without having an expert knowledge on Bach. So and because I wanted to have many, many people who can read it, I decided very early that it should be a bilingual book. So in other words, the German version also provided an English translation. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. And when I told David that I'm planning to write this book, he was immediately interested in making it accessible also to the other side of the world.
Yes.
So his idea was translating it into Chinese and
well.
I'm sure, David, that this was a big challenge for you because, I mean, I'm working also a lot of with quotations from Bach, yeah, to show that he is not only, to demonstrate that he is not only a great musician who invented wonderful musical melodies, but also to let him speak sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And this old German language, even for Germans today, is not easily understandable. So for a translator, all the more it's difficult to come up with good translations, but I guess he managed it fantastically. I mean, I have no idea what he has written in the Chinese version because I was not able to double check it. But I believe in him, and I don't know, David, was it a big challenge for you? I mean, did you more focus on the German text or on the English translation? Because I mean, that helped probably a lot already to have an English translation.
Well, yes, I look at the English translation, but I always go back to the original mm-hmm. German version, and I actually found some mistakes, and I told Michael
yeah.
that something had to be changed.
Yeah.
So I read through this already several times, even before the German-English version
was
published.
You did it so carefully. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I also have two very fantastic colleagues who are very well-versed in Chinese to proofread this book for us. So this...
it's a labor
this
of
is,
love.
Yeah. So this is a good book. It should be well written. And speaking of being accessible, I actually showed this book to my grandma the day when I received it from the printer. And the second day, she when I came to the dining room and she was sitting there and she was already in I think the 10th or the 15th chapter, and my grandma was not so well educated. I think she only finished her primary school education and knew not so much, writing and literature and all that. But she was able to read so much, and she find it very interesting. And what impressed me the most is she actually told me some stories of Bach. And for example, she said something like, "Wow, Bach really had a sad life. When he was 9 and 10, Like your grandpa, his parents already died, and then his mom, when his mom died, she was only 50 years old, and Bach, he always skipped schools when he was a kid and things like that." So I find it really fascinating. I mean, never in my life would I imagine that I would have this common topic of Bach with my grandmother.
Mm.
So
Amazing.
This book actually made that possible. So that was a very moving moment.
Yeah, that is a lovely story. And I'm just looking at it now. It's a beautiful book.
It is really beautiful.
It is stunning.
Also beautifully printed. So congratulations.
Yes, absolutely stunning. And I'm, you know, as someone with two young children, I'm thinking this is something I could easily introduce to them. You know, they look at the pictures, I read it to them. It's so accessible, not just to grandmothers, but, you know, so also to like young little children as well. So congratulations on this book. It's really awesome. I just want to talk about the current concert, as so from tomorrow, which is the 30th of July, right up to the 5th of August, you are going to be presenting a nationwide Bach cantata concert tour out of depths. Tell me a little bit about what's planned.
So this concert tour, we will be touring five different cities, Kuala Lumpur on the 30th, and then 31st, we will be going to the Penang. And then on August the 2nd, we'll be in Cebu, and then August the 3rd will be in Bintulu, and then August the 5th will be in Kota Kinabalu.
Okay.
And so these two Bach cantatas, one was written during his early years when he was a young composer, and then the second one was during his time in Leipzig when he was a more mature composer. And the message of these two cantatas, I've selected these two cantatas particularly out of the 200 works that he had written, because I think it really speaks about our current condition. You know, we are all coming out from the depths. And this past 2.5-3 years, I mean, for me personally, as an artist especially, was really difficult. I mean, imagine being a I don't remember when was the last time I have not conducted for nearly 3 years. Mm-hmm. So this is the first concert I'll be conducting since March 8th, 2020, and it has been more than 2 years. And I mean, the two cantatas, it's incredible how they relate to each other. The first one is really, you know, navigating through these difficult times in life. And the second one is really, you know, heading towards the hope in our life, saying that there is hope even in the midst of difficult times. And what can we do about our lives when we face all these difficulties? And how do we be responsible? How do we react and respond to difficulties in our life? So I think it will be very moving. I think the audience will feel that these two cantatas is highly related to what most of us, if not all of us, have been going through. And we have in our group, 25 of us will be traveling, and all of us are young. If I may say, I'm still young. We are all young professional musicians, and of course, we are beyond honored to have Michelle with us in this tour, and also in conjunction with the publication of this book. So we are really looking forward to seeing many of our friends, both old and new, in these concerts.
Mm-hmm. And not just the concerts, there's also a lecture series, a pre-concert lecture series that you're going to be given, isn't it, Michelle?
Yeah, I will try to give my best with my little lectures before the cantatas to make the music more accessible, to tell something about the background of the pieces. As David said, the one cantata Bach composed very early in his life when he was 22. And by the way, it doesn't sound like a piece of a musical freshman. It's in so many regards a masterwork. So, and I want to explain a little bit about the background and the things which are fascinating me most in this music, and I guess that will help the people to share our enthusiasm for Bach. Mm-hmm. And the other cantata is from Bach's Leipzig period, so a mature work in so many regards. And I will also tell some anecdotes which brings us closer to Bach and show that he, on the one hand, was the god of music, but on the other hand, he was also a human. Sure. With some charming sides, and that he also sometimes was surprised by surprised by a really bad fate. As David mentioned, he became an orphan when he was 9 years old. Within 10 months, first his mother and then his father died, and then he, with a very strong self-discipline, became a fantastic musician, achieved a lot within 5, 6, 7 years, studied eagerly every music he was able to catch, and became a real musical cosmopolitan, because already in his 20s he had studied music from entire Europe. He was familiar to all the musical styles from Italy to France, and he was able not only to imitate this, but to create a new style, which was in fact a mix of everything and very Bachian in the end. So, and still it's a language which really, as I said in the beginning, is able to cross any borders and to make an audience moving, no matter if they are really understanding the text of the music. Mm-hmm. So it's all in the notes. It's all in the music. It doesn't need the words.
Okay. Just listening to you, I can't wait to go for it. So it's happening from Saturday, and then it's going to travel across. We can also pre-order the book now if we want, right?
Well, the book is available. Actually, you can just order it and we will ship it. I mean, our friends in the United States and Canada, they have received their copies.
Oh, lovely.
So
okay.
We will ship... ship it as soon as the orders comes in, and then everyone will receive it within a week or two.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So if you'd like to go for that concert, you just need to head to cloudtix.co to find the tickets there. If you'd like more information, just head to bachfestmalaysia.com. And if you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/front-row, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.